All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 will be our text this afternoon. Some time ago, in contemplating the Lord's Supper ordinance, which we will partake of in a few minutes, the Lord drew my attention to the verse that forms our text for the message this afternoon. So would you follow along in your Bible as I read for us 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. You understand that the Lord instituted the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, or communion as it is also called, at what we call the Last Supper. That evening, Jesus and his 12 disciples were eating the Jewish Passover meal together. In order to understand the message of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it would be helpful to understand the Passover. So with that in mind, let's examine the Jewish Passover. In order to do that, we need to read about the first Passover, which is found in Exodus chapter 12. So would you turn to Exodus chapter 12? I'm going to read verses 1 through 20. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 20. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's households, a lamb for each household.' Now if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them. According to what each man should eat, you are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done in them except what must be eaten by every person. That alone may be prepared by you. You shall also observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened. In all your dwellings, you shall eat unleavened bread. Thank you for your attention to that rather long passage, but it's important to get the context here. As you can see here, the focus of the Passover meal was the Passover lamb. The lamb needed to be spotless, unblemished. This was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be the sinless Lamb of God, the only one worthy and acceptable to God. The lamb must be slain. This was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would shed his blood and die to pay the penalty for our sins. The lamb must be a substitute. In other words, in place of another. This was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would die in our place to pay the penalty for our sins. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, "Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And finally, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, "For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed." The blood of the lamb must be sprinkled. In other words, it must be applied. This was pointing to the fact that Christ's shed blood must be spiritually but personally applied to every repentant sinner coming to him for salvation. There were two other items that were to be eaten along with the Passover lamb, as we see in Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. "They shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs." Notice the significance of the unleavened bread. Again, Exodus chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. "Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel." The unleavened bread that was to be eaten with the Passover lamb during this Passover meal would, the following year, be eaten for 7 more days, starting with the evening after Passover. And this would be called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first year after Israel left Egypt, the 7 feasts of Israel were instituted and began to be celebrated. The first feast was the Passover. The next evening began the 2nd feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In preparation for this, each Jewish household was to clean out all the leaven that was in the house. And that brings us to the first statement in our text this evening. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "Clean out the old leaven." What did Paul mean by this command? In the context of the verses surrounding this verse and by what leaven symbolizes, sin, this is a command to purge out of our hearts and lives any sin that we are tolerating in our lives. The careful and thorough way that the Jews followed God's institution or instruction to purge out any leaven that could be found in their homes is a perfect illustration for us how we should deal with sin in our lives. In view of the severe penalty prescribed in Exodus chapter 12, verse 15, death, being cut off, meant died or killed, for allowing any leaven to remain in the house, the Jewish household was very thorough about looking for and getting rid of all leaven. They would light a lamp and go over every inch of the house, sweeping every corner where it could find a hiding place. I find it very interesting that today the penalties for breaking the law seem to be so mild that people will break the law and just shrug their shoulders and whatever, you know, get a slap on the hand, you know, a small penalty. But when you think about if the penalty were death, which we don't even have anymore in Canada, but if the penalty were death, I think you'd be a little more careful about following the law here. And so this is what the Lord was giving them. The penalty of death caused them, motivated them to really make sure they got rid of every little speck of leaven in their houses. Please understand that this ritual was meant to teach us important spiritual truth. The shedding of the blood of the Passover lamb and applying it to the doorposts was pointing to Christ, the Lamb of God, who would die for sinners and whose sacrifice would be applied to those who repented of their sins and trusted in him for salvation. Now, the cleaning out of the leaven in the home pictures the crucial need for that believer to maintain that perfect cleansing Christ's blood accomplished on the cross for us. Leaven or yeast is all around us, even floating in the air. Anyone wanting a good supply of leaven or yeast for baking only had to go to a grapevine and scrape the leaves to gather leaven. This teaches us that it is all too easy to be contaminated by sin in this sinful world. And it is of utmost importance that we do a regular and thorough check for sin in our lives by shining the light of God's word on each day. When we find sin in our lives, we need to confess it and forsake it, letting the Holy Spirit cleanse us, as we read in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, call it what God calls it, admit it to God, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My question to you is this, Christian: how often are you shining the light of God's word on your heart and life to check for hidden sin? Just like the Israelites looked for any sign of leaven in their houses, how thorough are you about looking for it and getting rid of sin in your life? Notice what our text goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. The new lump here refers to a newly mixed batch of dough without any leaven. You are to clean sin out of your life and get back to the state you were in the moment you were saved, cleansed from all sin, because that is the nature of your new nature, just as you are, in fact, unleavened, that verse tells us. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Before I close this very short message in prayer and move on to the Lord's Supper observance this afternoon, would you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart? If he is pointing out some sin that you are tolerating in your heart and life, whether others know about it or not, perhaps one that the Lord has only recently brought to your attention as being sin, would you confess it and forsake it now? As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, would you talk to the Lord about it right now? Ask him to shine the light of his word on your life, on every area of your life. And ask the Lord to show you if there's something that you've been ignoring, something that you have not even thought about, and he brings it to your mind right now. Would you respond to him? And would you say, Lord, by your enablement, your grace, I will get rid of this sin. I will confess it, forsake it by your enablement. Thank you for your cleansing, for your forgiveness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the importance of observing the Lord's Supper regularly, as we do here once a month, first Sunday of the month. Lord, we realize that just as Israel was told once a year to observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that was to be a reminder to them to get rid of sin in their lives, as they were to sweep out every bit of leaven from their houses. Lord, I pray that as we consider this, and especially our text in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, where we are reminded to get rid of all sin so that we will be an unleavened lump, so to speak. I pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts as we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper in just a minute or two. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, point out anything we need to confess and forsake. Lord, I pray that you would truly give us strength to forsake those sins and honor you and glorify you by a holy life. I pray now that as we observe the Lord's Supper, that we would remember with joy and with awe the wonderful sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ in giving himself for us to be that Lamb of God, that sacrifice for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.